Lord one more time. Psalm said we didn't have to make it in. But I'm glad to be in the service one more time. Truly, we thank God tonight for being here. We honor the Lord. Amen. We thank God for Brother Danny and for Elder Tinsley and their hard work and playing. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Elder Tinsley ain't no spring. Well, men ain't chicken. He ain't no spring rooster. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen. It took 2 days. Oh, I can't forget. Well, excuse, you know how they say, pardon our appearance, we are remodeling? Amen. I had 2 of my grandsons yesterday move all this stuff down to the fellowship hall. And you know, I take the responsibility for not explaining what all means. Because when we got here this morning, all wasn't all. Amen. But nevertheless, they saved us a lot of time. And we just bless the Lord. It's good to make the house of God look good. Amen. And just thank God for all of those that are playing a part. And we did announce, men, do not disappear quickly after church, because we do have to do something with all that stuff outside. Amen. Amen. Amen to that part. Praise God anyway. Well, we thank God, amen, for his goodness, his mercy, and kindness. We thank God for my wife being here in spite of her fall. When Daniel told her how she felt, how she broke this and this stuff fell on her head. I was like, whoa, I better call and see if she's all right. Amen, but she's here. Probably got a few aches and things, but she's here. Amen, so we bless the Lord. And we just thank God for all that he's doing. I got a call today as I was preparing for church. And the person said, do you know who this is? I said, the voice sounds very familiar, but I'm trying to get it together. He said, this is your bishop. I said, well, praise the Lord, Bishop Guthrie, how are you doing? He said, well, the Lord leads you all on my heart. So I wanted to call to thank you all, first of all, for being a part of the Georgia City Council. He asked me to tell you, that's why I'm coming. Amen. Thank you for the sacrifice. He said to drive all the way from New York to be in these services is a sacrifice. And he said, indeed, this is an honor. And he was planning on being here for the dedication as well as our chairman, but it just so happened that our dedication and anniversary is at the same time as the national convention. Amen. But he said, the Lord laid you all in my heart. So he said, you tell your wife and the saints, we're praying for them and we love them. And he said, and the sister that your wife introduced me to, tell her I will be there soon. So we'll be here to introduce you. And then tell that sister I will be there soon. So I just follow instructions. Amen. And we just thank God. Isn't God good? I said, well, Bishop, I appreciate the fact that we're in the council. And I appreciate the fact that you took time out of your busy schedule to call and pray for us. Amen. So how many know God is good? He said it's the one of the things, but that's not important. That's the most important thing is that he prayed. He said, no, God wants me to pray for you right now. And we took time and he prayed. So we just thank God for what he's doing and for what God is going to do. Now, we always make it a habit, unless the Lord leads differently, that when we go over a message on Sunday, we try to follow it up with the teachings during the week. Because the Bible said wisdom is a principal thing. But in all thy getting thou art to get and understanding. So that we fully comprehend what God is trying to do. Now what is our theme for the year? Believing God against all odds. And the scripture says, he that what cometh to God must first. A lot of us have some challenges. And these challenges could better be represented as odds. But the question is, are we really believing God in the midst of our challenges? You show God that you believe him when you have odds, when you act godly when the odds are against you. Can the church say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I ain't gonna let y'all be quiet. All right, you gotta talk to me. But when the odds are against you, that's when you have to show God that you believe him. Well, how do we show that we believe him? He must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that. So when the odds are against us, we don't run away from God, but we run. I'm wondering tonight, how many people are drifting away from God because of what is coming against them? They say, well, I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm not talking about praying and reading your Bible and giving time. I'm talking about an inward coming to God. Not an external. Anybody can come in the house of God. The Bible says even the devil can come in the house. And the devils also believe. But they have no hope for salvation. And not only do they believe, the Bible says they believe and they tremble. Something about God. What do we do when these odds, challenges, the unknown, the unforeseen happen? What kind of inward disposition do we have? And that's what we're going to go over tonight. We're going to continue what we went over on Sunday. A good reputation, I should have added it in the sight of man, but spiritually dead in the sight of God. A what? Good reputation in the what? But spiritually dead. Death is not always quick. You know, I was thinking, and not to minimize or belittle hospice, but a lot of saints are on spiritual hospice, just waiting to die. And when you're on hospice, they say just try to make them comfortable. I wonder tonight, how many are on spiritual hospice? I'm not talking about a natural death, I'm talking about a spiritual death. Death is separation from God. Remember God told Adam and Eve, he said, the day that you eat of the fruit, you're surely going to die. Well, when they ate, they severed their fellowship and communication, communion with God because of their disobedience. So to come to God, and this is a question that I would like you to consider in your mind. How can I come to God if I'm in disobedience and expect to receive from God? And everybody else said, wow, that person is hungry for God, right? Their reputation is great, but God looks at us. And what I like about God, in his eyes, he don't need x-ray vision, he don't need a telescope, and he doesn't need anyone else to diagnose our issues. God sees us for himself, amen? So let us stand, we're gonna go to Matthew chapter 23, and we did reference this on Sunday. On Sunday, scripture reference that we used was Revelation chapter 3, and in that reference, he says unto the angel of the church of Sardis, he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, but thou art dead. Your reputation is that you're alive, you're saved, and you're in church. God said, but in all spiritual reality, he said, you are dead. Amen? So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 23, and I'm not going to read far because we're going to actually try to go through the whole thing, but let's read from verses 1, and we'll conclude by reading verse 12 together. Amen? Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Now, the most important thing is what in the eyes of God, how does God see us? And I'm going to always repeat that and reiterate that because we do our best to please man. But in the eyes of God, you know, and as I said on Sunday, a lot of times we slip up and we do stuff all the time because the right people are around watching us. Why do we ever mess up when those that we want to respect us and think the best, why don't we mess up when they're watching? That means you place a higher value, a premium on what a person, man thinks than God. Amen. Verse 1 reads, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Who's speaking?
Jesus.
Jesus. Amen. Saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, then observe and do. But do not eat after their words, for they're just concerned about people. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves would not move therewith one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be. They want to have a good reputation for men. Amen. They may bar their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their gods and love the uppermost room of feasts and the chief seat in the synagogue and greetings in the market and to be called a man, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And that's not a natural father, that has a spiritual significance, amen? So don't allow your minds to go on a tangent, all right? Somebody say, keep the main thing? The main thing. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be. Now may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the church said, amen. So Jesus was dealing with who would be considered the religious leaders of the day. And he said concerning the religious leaders in verse 5, he said, but some of their works. You got it? All right. Y'all know y'all had a long day working. It's hot, it is muggy, and your body just said, I just feel so good to sit down for a while. So after your body said, shoo, then your eyes said, I just need a little break. So if you don't shake that, whoo, guess what's going to happen? You are going to fall asleep. So that you don't fall asleep, then you have to do a poof, and you have to participate. Amen. So we don't want you to fall asleep, and I know it is hot because I'm sweating. Alright, and like I said, Elder Tinsley and Brother Dan had me working hard all day long. Real hard. Real, real, real hard. So I'm glad I ain't sitting down. Well, if you don't be proactive or reactive in service, you will have a tendency to go on a mental fog. After you go on a mental fog, the next step is to fall asleep. All right, so let's all say it together. Verse 5 again. But some of their works. What? All their works they do want to be. Want to have men think the best of them. Amen. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms and feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the market and to be called a man Rabbi, Rabbi. Want to be seen. Now the Lord says in verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, For the word rabbi means master. It means great one. It means honorable one. Right? Rabbi. It means you are great. It means you are honorable. But that's in the sight of man. God said you don't have but one master. And that master is God. So when you have these other titles, rabbi, you're doing this to impress man. God said, well, you should, your desire tonight should be, I don't want y'all to leave this out. I don't want y'all to think when I say man, that don't mean women too. Right? You don't should desire to please anyone other than God. So a lot of times, there was even some kings that if you didn't call them honorable or great ones, they would get upset. Amen. And I believe it's in the 12th chapter of Acts, when the Bible talks about Herod elevated himself so much, they call him God and the Great One. You know what happened to Herod? God struck him dead. You know why? Because he placed a higher value of himself as a God, and he tried to enthrone self instead of dethroning self. Well, when you're concerned about what people think about you, and you forget about what God thinks about you, you're saying, I am a great one. I am an honorable. I am somebody. And God says, the only one great is me. Alright, so he's dealing with the Pharisees because they acted one way in front of people for their reputation. But as we will continue to find out, God says he was not pleased with their actions. Can y'all say action something? Amen. So let's continue. I'm gonna speed up. I gotta keep y'all long tonight because I can tell y'all hot fans going like this, going like that, people doing this and all. Gotcha. Amen. He says verse 8. Well, let's get down to verse 10. Verse 11, I'm sorry, we already been over one to be great, to be somebody, but not for God, but in the sight of man. But he that is greatest among you shall be your. I wonder how many great people really want to serve. There was a time the Lord gave an illustration to his disciples. Because they had a debate of who was going to be the greatest. So the Lord said, you want to find out who's the greatest? He took a towel and a basin of water and began to wash their feet. And he said that if you want to be great, you must first be a servant. And what I like about God, he didn't just say it, but he always did it. Now those that have a reputation, they always say something, but they, well, okay, if you don't believe, let's go back up to verse 3. Those that want to have a big reputation, then we'll come back to verse 11. He said, and therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, then observe and do. But do you not after their words, for they and do not, because they are concerned about a reputation before men. So the Lord said, I'm not going to just tell you something, I'm not going to do it. Now, that individual is always telling people one thing, but on the flip side, they are contrary, they're just concerned about their reputation. They're not concerned about how God sees them. Amen. Verse 11 again. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Lord, just help. Lord King. He said, Lord, if I can just be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, he said, I'd rather do that than anybody just satisfied to be the least. He that would be the greatest among you shall first be the least. But the problem in church, and I ain't talking about y'all, we talking about the other church. I ain't talking about y'all. Y'all ain't like that. Y'all don't want to be great first. Y'all just said, give me the least. If I can just sweep the floors, I'll be satisfied. Matter of fact, I had to fight with Danny today because Danny tried to put me on a pedestal. And then he even got some help. He said, no, Pastor Dave, you can't run that buffer. I said, Danny, I've been running a buffer since I was 10 years old. I can run a buffer with two fingers. And I did it. But you know why? Because I'm not going to have someone else do something that I love my dear. Last week, I cleaned the ladies and the men's bathroom. Toilets and mopped the floor. You know why? I'm not saying this is bad on me. I'm just saying this because I'm going to have you do something that I want first dear. And then day before yesterday, I cleaned out the refrigerators and then tried to fix it. Not because I wanted to do it, but I didn't want to pay money. That's that's the real reason. But I did. But you know why? Because I always tell God, and this is what Bishop told me a couple of weeks ago. He said, Ellen, whatever you do, you stay humble. Right? He said, because too many of our pastors and leaders in church, once they get into a certain position, they elevate themselves. But I'm saying as saints, is it a job that we are too big to do? Is there something that, now I didn't have to clean toilets. Matter of fact, my wife said, why is that, what was that? The plunger all dirty with stuff all over it. So guess what I did? And I ain't telling y'all this for nothing, all right? I'm just saying, you got to learn to be humble, right? You have to learn to do the smallest job. And then the Bible says, when you learn to do what you're supposed to do, a man's gift will what? Make room for it. But some of us are not y'all. Look at somebody and say, he ain't talking to you. Less than you. Some of us, there are some things that be below us. As long as y'all got life, health, and strength, God, I'll do anything. Because I thank God for what he's done. I mean, but the Pharisees. I shouldn't have said that, right? Because y'all trying to think I'm bragging on myself. No, I ain't bragging on myself. I'm just saying, if I do it, then you can do it. Alright? Matter of fact, the Saturday before that, Deacon George and I swept the mop and cleaned the whole church. Right? You know why? Because I want to show God I appreciate what God has given me. I'm not going to tell God, I've got to get somebody else to do that. And yesterday, Elder Tinsley and I, we went around and picked up all the trash all around the church grounds. Right? Because we're not above that. In church, learn to be humble. I know that sounds like, ouch. And whosoever shall exalt himself. Now we're going to just deal with those that are concerned about their reputation. It's still a fault for reputation, a little bit. Right? Just a little bit. You know what we talked about today? Just a little bit. Right? But verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself, God will certainly bring you down. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Now, as a reference scripture, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 23. We're talking about a reputation. But man says we are all right. But God says, I see further than what you're doing. And I see that Verse 23 says, a man's pride shall bring him. That's the wrong one, right? 2023. That's 2023? I got the wrong one. Well, that's Proverbs 2023. Oh, I'm sorry, 29:23. When God breaks season. Oh, you laughing at me, Tanya? 29:23. All in the right book, all in the right 20s. Just did not deny. 29:23, all right, we got it, all right. A man's pride shall bring him. Don't be so proud that you can't allow anyone to help you, especially when you are wrong. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold thee. So don't try to exalt yourself, just stay humble. Proverbs 16 and 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That individual is full of pride. And they say, you should have some self-esteem. You certainly should have self-esteem. But your self-esteem should not make you want to exalt yourself like the Pharisees. Amen. So now let us go back to Matthew chapter 23. I only have a few minutes, but we will get as far as we can. Those that are concerned about their reputation say and act certain ways. But this, who's speaking in the 23rd chapter of Matthew?
Jesus.
All right, so there's no debating this. This is the Lord speaking. Verse 13 says, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. He calls them. He said, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. He said, they didn't want people to get saved. They wanted people to follow them. So they shut up the kingdom of heaven. They wouldn't allow them to come into what's known as the church, because they wanted them to follow their religious ways. So he said, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses for a... I'm just concerned about a reputation. The Lord is saying there's no sincerity in what you're doing. There's no honesty. You're doing it for a pretense. Pretense means it's not real. He said, even that, go further than that, you make all these long prayers just to be seen. Amen? Therefore, ye shall receive the greater damnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more than is. Why? Because it's all about what you are doing, and what you are saying, and what you're doing, and the problem is you have eliminated God. Right? So they were building themselves up and building up their base that was following them, but God was no longer in the picture. War to ye blind guys to say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. God says, Jesus says, ye fools and blind, for what is greater? The gold or the temple that sanctified the gold. So they were still focusing on the external. And God is saying, if you want to be pleasing in my eyes, you got to leave an external alone. You got to work on what's on the inside. Verse 18 said, and whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. And whosoever shall swear by the gift that is on the altar, he is guilty. Once again, the altar represents praying God. He said that you can forget the altar, just focus on the gift. Well, the altar represents God. So how are you going to forget about God? So they wanted them to focus on the gift and not the altar, because they're trying to eliminate God. Amen? Verse 21 says, and whosoever shall swear by the temple, swear by it and by him that dwelleth. Who dwelleth in the temple? It's God. Amen? And he that swears by heaven swears by the throne of God, and by him that sitteth thereon. Woe unto ye scribes and Pharisees. Yes, you are spiritual charlatans. You're not serious. You're not real. You are hypocrites. He said, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is judgment, mercy. Now, when you give tithe and you give all, people can see that. But when it comes to judgment, mercy, and faith, that is an inner quality. That is an inner character that only God can see. So they were focusing on the external, but neglecting the internal. So he called them what? Hypocrites. Hypocrites. And he says, in the latter part, he said, you should have paid your tithes, but you should not have left the others undone. So they were doing what man could see externally, but they were falling short internally. Judgment. It just, you know how people are fast to judge? Mercy, if there was a time in the history of mankind, when people don't have mercy, it's today. Now, when we're in a bad situation, we want all the mercy we can get. Right? But then when it comes to short mercy, we don't have no mercy. It's just like the man that had a servant. I'm going to put it in terms that you can understand. The servant owed him $1 million. And the Lord said he forgave him, because he owed him $1 million. But then he found a servant that owed him $100. And he purged him, whipped him, and put him in prison. And when the Lord heard what he did, he called him. He said, wait a minute. How can I show you mercy and forgive you for so much? But you're going to be so unmerciful, and you can't forgive somebody for so little. He said, you're going to pay the utmost fine. You're going to pay for what you done. Why? Because you did not show mercy. Have mercy in church. If saints can't show mercy, right? So the Lord said, I think you're with me. I mess up every single day. I think the wrong thing all the time, and so do you. Because we're human. And you won't be perfect until you get to heaven. As long as you're here, I don't care how high and mighty you think you are, you are going to make a mistake. And when God does, because God loves, God looks at that mistake, and he said, well, you got to remember that my mercies are new every morning. And God says, great is my faithfulness. So I'm going to keep showing you mercy. But why don't you show mercy? This is what the hypocrites. I didn't say this before Jesus said. Can y'all say Jesus in it?
Jesus said it.
Jesus in it? No. But Jesus said right? So, but the Pharisees, they didn't show mercy, they didn't show kindness, amen? He said, verse 24, ye blind guides, with strain, 23 and 24. Ye blind, if you're a guide, that means what? People are following you, right? So you're an example, people are following you. You're the pastor, you're the assistant pastor, you just stop right there. Hell, Mr. Lord. People are following you. What are you acting like? What are you acting like? What are you acting like? How y'all acting? Yeah, how you doing? What are you doing? They're following you. You are a guide. You are an example for them to what? Follow. He said, ye blind guys, because ye. And ye what? Swallow a camel. Now, can you really swallow a camel? A gnat was what they would do with water. When they would get water, they would strain the water. And they would strain the gnats out of the water because people don't like to drink gnats. But then, camels, all the way, if you go all the way back to, I believe it's to Exodus or Leviticus, the camel was considered an unclean beast because it did what they call enumerated. That means when he eats his food, he goes lay down and regurgitates it and digests it. So he said, that's why they didn't eat cows, because a cow does the same thing, he has two sacks. Right? So that'll be your education. So I leave my cup out for y'all to leave my donation after the education. But the cows, they have two stomachs. One stomach, that's what they do is they go eat all the food, then when they lay down, they regurgitate it and they chew it. So that's why God said you cannot eat anything that eats the cod. You know that? The cod, not the cod. C-U-D, but for the sake of now sound, I say cod, but it's cod. Thank you, Jasmine. But what the issue was this, what it really means is that you're concerned about all the small stuff, your small sins, but you don't even pay attention to those big sins you did. So after the facetious and funny part, this is what he's telling. He said, you just keep eliminating all the little sins, but you commit a great sin and don't even bother. That's what he means when you strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said, those little sins, you just deal with them. He said, but those impossible sins, you just keep in them. Because you don't even care, because you're what? Hypocrites. Who said this? The Lord. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, when you make clean the. Don't everybody look real clean today? Y'all look real good on the outside. This is what the Lord is telling us. Man, you look so, you even smell good on the outside. On the outside. He says, but clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they are full of. Extortion means you're just greedy for money. And excess means you do anything to promote yourself. So God, he's telling him, he said, you clean in the outside. He said, but now who can see this? Did they see this? No, who saw it? Jesus is saying it. He said, you're greedy? That's what he means by extortion. Right? Because when people extort stuff, they try to get what? Even today, extortion is what? Money. Right? So you're just greedy for money, and then you want excess, and you're just trying to promote yourself. These are the Pharisees. See, I'm teaching y'all, I pray tonight something to the know. thing yet. I'm gonna put it in the back door, leave your donation on the way. All right. So he goes on to say, thou blind Pharisees, right? There's concern about your reputation and you're forgetting God. He said, before you worry about all that external stuff, I need you to first clean that which is. God said, I'm not concerned about your reputation and what people think, because I see you. And when I look inside, I don't see what they see on the outside. So he said, first clean that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are likened unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear to be on the outside, but within they are full of dead men, bones, and so God is trying to tell him, in your reputation, you do everything on the outside. But God says, I'm looking at the inside. Now there's another scripture, I believe, I don't know if it's in Mark or Luke, where he tells them, in looking at the inside and the outside, the Lord tells them, he says, now from the abundance of the heart. Anybody know that God doesn't see as man sees him? This is a scripture. When Samuel went to the house of Jesse to get a king, Samuel was looking at the outside. So every time when he first saw the first son, Nathan's first son, or David's father, Jesse's first son, he said, surely I'm able to benefit him. Surely the Lord, he was head and shoulders. God said, you're looking at the outside. God said, but I'm judging the inside. Tonight, God is not impressed with your outside. But God is looking at our inside. He said, even so ye also outwardly appear to be. Outwardly, you look like you got it all together spiritually. Outwardly, you look like you are right in the eyes of God. He said, you appear to be righteous unto. If we could ever stop focusing so much. Just let it be real. I am almost finished. We know how to wake y'all up. Amen. Warning you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partaking with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them that killed the prophet. He said, now fill ye up the measures of your in everyday English. Who wants everyday English? Everyday English said, if you would have been there, you would have did just what they did. That's everyday English. Because the issue was a heart condition. The reason they killed the prophets, the reason they persecuted Jesus, the reason they crucified Jesus, he said, you would have done this. He said, now you fill up the measure. You do just what they did because there's an inner condition in your heart. He said, ye serpents, ye generation of. How can ye escape the So he says to them that they are going to fill up the damnation of hell. Why? Because their whole existence was on what people thought and not on what God thought. Amen. I'm over time, so I won't go further. Let us all stand. Fill ye up the measures of your fathers. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, it talks about those that were once saved, and they fall away to renew themselves unto repentance in the end. They said, if you once walk with God, and you fall away from God to repent, he said, you put Christ to an open shame. And if you had the opportunity, you would have crucified the Lord. And they said, you put it to an open shame and you crucify the Son of Man afresh. So when you walk with God and you know what God has been, and people are watching you and your salvation, when you fall away and have to renew them unto repentance, it says you crucify the Son of God afresh. Anybody just want to be, I just want to be clean. I don't care about what you think. I don't care about what she thinks. I don't care what anybody talks about or says about me. I want to be clean in the eyes of God. When God looks at me, hallelujah, because I can't hide my motives, I can't hide my thinking, because the word of God is quick and in it, powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divine asunder, the soul and spirit, and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the God's word knows everything there is about you as the elders and the ministers. All the work is coming forward. God's word knows everything there is about you. Truly, there's no hiding place. There's not a place in this world that you can run that God don't see. There's not a thing that you can see that God doesn't know. There's no things that you can deny to plan in your heart that God doesn't know. So isn't it time to be real? Forget about the reputation. Man things. It's time for us to come alive spiritually. Amen. It's time to strengthen that which remains, which is ready to die. God says, I have not found your works perfect before me. It's time for those. If you know that God has issues with your life, if you know that God has issues with your heart, if you know that God has issues with your motives, if you know that God has issues with your scheming and conniving and trying to portray one thing when you're actually living another way, the altar is open.